There's a popular phrase in our society, don't sweat the small stuff. I don't want to talk about that this morning. Robert Elliott, as a matter of fact, says rule number one is don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two is it's all small stuff. But with Christians, there is some big stuff. And as long as our priorities are right with the big stuff, everything else then is small stuff. That's what we want to talk about. Things directly related to our salvation, that's the big stuff. Things that aren't directly related to salvation, that's the small stuff. In our Bible reading, Philippians 2 and verse 12, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we need to have, the fear and trembling in our life. Working out salvation. But you know, if it's the ancillary things, the things that we're dealing with from day to day, then it's small stuff. And we need to treat it that way. For example, in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says we must hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and even our own life. That's small stuff. Loving God, that's the important thing. That's the big stuff. All the other things come in under that. The things of salvation, that's the big stuff. Everything else is the little stuff. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 28, to not fear those who can kill the body, but God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Paul said in Romans 14, verse 8, we live to the Lord, we die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Being the Lord's, that's the big stuff. Not whether we live or die. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, as a matter of fact, that we welcome death, the time that we can put on immortality and take off this tent. Death is little stuff. Serving God faithfully, now that's the big stuff. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love that story. Turn your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter 3. And you'll remember King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a 90-foot tall idol of gold made. And then he made a law that when music played, everyone had to fall down and worship the idol. And if you did not, you'd be thrown into a burning hot furnace. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't sin. They disobeyed the king. They didn't worship the idol. Now, chapter 3, verse 13, I want to read just a few verses, beginning in verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn and the flute and the lyre and trigon and the psaltery and the bagpipe and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Now, let me tell you, that's the small stuff. That's the small stuff. Being cast into a furnace of fire, that's the small stuff. The big stuff is obeying God. And because they were concerned with the big stuff, there was a price to pay, but the price was the small stuff. Now look at their attitude here. I think it's just great. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. In other words, they had a grip on what we're talking about, that it was small stuff. What the king would do, whatever it would be, that's the small stuff. The big stuff is obeying God, is doing the right things in respect to God. It seems to me they didn't sweat the small stuff. They were brave. They were courageous. They had this all within the proper perspective of life. So the music played, they didn't fall down and worship the idol, and they were cast into the blazing furnace. Those who carried them to the furnace, they were killed, those great warriors, they were killed by the flames. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, having been bound, they fell in. And there was another one there, like the Son of God, in the furnace. They were saved, they did not die, their hair was not singed, and their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Now look at verse 28. As a response to this, Nebuchadnezzar now glorifies God. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, and who put their trust in him, violating the king's command, and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God." They didn't sweat the small stuff. And they were willing to yield up their bodies bravely, courageously. It seems to me they didn't sweat the small stuff. As long as we are sweating the big stuff, serving God, as Christians, we won't sweat the small stuff. Matters concerning physical life, that's small stuff. I want you to look at a few passages with me. I want to remind you of a few things. Indeed, you already know these. Matthew chapter 6, the basic necessities of life, food and clothing, these are the small stuff. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus here speaking, verse 25. "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried." You see, if we have the right perspective, it's small stuff. We're not worried about it. "Do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Food and clothing are small stuff. Life is, there's more to life than that. You see, when we have the correct perspective in our life, not to sweat it, not to worry about it. Also, turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Matters of everyday life. Very much the same point. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Matters of everyday life. Get up, go to school, go to work, do your chores. All those things that we do, everyday existence, that's all small stuff. And you see, the world is all tied up in all of these things. A car, a house, recreation, what are you doing? They're all tied up. Those are the important things. Not with Christians. Not with Christians. That's all small stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. "No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life." That's small stuff. Don't be entangled. That's not the important things. Yes, we have to do those things. Yes, we have to spend energy on them. Yes, but don't be entangled. That's not what is important in life. I was talking the other day. As a matter of fact, Jeremy was conducting our class that we have with William and Elbert Bates. And we're going through Matthew right now. And we're going through the birth of Jesus. And it struck me how it seems that Mary and Joseph didn't sweat the small stuff. Here, Mary had conceived a child of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, this had got out. Joseph somehow found out about it. There were those at least who were very close to them who knew about it. Here she was in shame. Can you imagine? It gets out about town. And she looks pregnant and everybody can now tell. And she has no husband. And all of the shame of that. More so in that day and time than today. And here was Mary, just a humble servant of God. Does it seem like she was too worried about it? She wasn't sweating the small stuff. Joseph, of course, was engaged to her, and then he found out that she was pregnant. He was going to put her away, and then an angel came and told him that she was pregnant of the Holy Spirit, not to be afraid to take her to be his wife. And now he had some shame to deal with. Here was a woman who was already pregnant, and he was taking her to be his wife, especially in this day and this time. But yet he was obedient to God. Doesn't seem to me that he was sweating the small stuff. They got married, and Mary remained a virgin until the birth of Jesus in obedience to God. They were poor, had to travel to Bethlehem for a census. Mary gave birth in a stable. Jesus was laid in a manger. But they didn't sweat the small stuff. Herod tried to kill Jesus, so now they have to move to Egypt. That would be hard enough in our day and time, but imagine their day and time. They couldn't go back home to get their stuff. Just what little bit that they had made the trip with, now they have to move to another country. Doesn't seem like they sweat the small stuff. Herod died, now they have to move again. They have to move to Nazareth so prophecy can be fulfilled. And live now as lowly Galileans from living in an insignificant city. Low on the socioeconomic ladder. And it doesn't seem that they sweated the small stuff. Jesus, a boy and a young man, trained as a carpenter, lowly Nazarene. Nothing of his physical makeup that made him anything special. Isaiah says that there was no comeliness about him. In his ministry, homeless, no place to lay his head, didn't own property, didn't have any wealth, died a poor homeless man, innocent of any wrongdoing, crucified on the cross. Did Jesus sweat the small stuff? Did his parents sweat the small stuff? It seems to me he was raised up with living amongst good role models. Don't sweat the small stuff. The things of everyday life, where you live, what you eat, what you put on, how much money you have, that's not what's important. Don't worry about that. Don't get entangled with that. Don't get tied up with that. But a lot of our problems come from getting tied up with that, doesn't it? We have to have such social status. We have to look like we're somebody. We have to run around with a certain group of people. That's the small stuff. Don't sweat that. Wealth is small stuff. Turn over with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, again, a passage that you'll know so well. And Jesus again here is speaking. And he says in verse 36, Mark 8 and verse 36, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits its soul?" And the point I want to make from this passage this morning is that wealth, money, that small stuff, our career, our job, our earnings, our savings, our personal balance sheet, retirement, small stuff. That's not what the important stuff is. And yet we spend sometimes, speaking us as a country, as a people, we spend so much time and we're so perplexed and we're so worried. And so much of our energy is spent on things that don't matter. And this is the true challenge for Christians, to have the proper priorities in our life and to live within the proper perspective and not be someone chasing after the almighty dollar so much because we want to retire at 55 to worship the God of retirement. That's the way some people think, isn't it? And we have to be careful not to be caught up in this worldly thinking and not be like others. Not sweat the small stuff, but rather sweat the right stuff. You see, people in the world are sweating the wrong stuff. And if we are like them, we're sweating the wrong stuff too. We've got to be different and sweat the right stuff. Remember the rich man, the land was productive and he had an abundance in his harvest. He decided to pull down his barns and build larger ones so that he could retire early. Eat, drink, and be merry. His soul could take his ease. He could just relax and enjoy life. God called him a fool. He died that night. His soul was required of him. All his physical possessions then were taken away and given to someone else. He was sweating the wrong stuff. Jesus says at the end of that parable, "So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." In other words, so is the man who is sweating the wrong stuff. He's like this rich man. He's a fool. He's worried about the wrong things in life. Well, also human interpersonal relationships. Small stuff. And the world sweats those. If you've had children and you've been a child yourself, you know very well, what are kids concerned about? Friends. What people think about them. How others look at them. What you're wearing. You got to wear the cool clothes. And there's nothing wrong with having friends and wearing cool clothes. Unless you're worried about that. Unless you're sweating the small stuff instead of the right stuff. Remember in Matthew chapter 10 verses 34 and through 39, Jesus said he came to bring a sword. That even the members of one's own family will be his enemies. We can't be worried about what friends or family are going to do because we do the right thing. Interpersonal relationships, that's the small stuff. Having a boyfriend or a girlfriend, that's small stuff. Being married or being single, that's small stuff. Someone being mad at us because we're doing the right things toward God, that's small stuff. Our family disowning us because of what we do for the sake of Christ, that is small stuff. But yet we sometimes turn it into big stuff. That's not the big stuff. That's the little stuff. How do we live in this way? I want to take just a few moments and remind you of just a few things. How do we sweat the right stuff? How do we not sweat the small stuff? The things of everyday life. Wealth. Human relationships. How do we live in the correct perspective? The first thing I want to suggest to you is to have faith. To have a strong, abiding, unwavering faith based on God's word. And you're very familiar with this. This is not something strange to you. But it's a reminder for you. Faith comes by hearing, being the word of God, which is the power unto salvation. I'm going to tell you something. I want to share something personal with you for just a second. As a father, there's nothing more gratifying for me. At night when I'll knock on the door and I'll open the door to one of the children's room and I'll look in and I'll tell them good night, and they're there reading their Bible. That is the greatest thing for me, to see them connecting with God through His Word, because I know that is what is going to make them successful in life. So we have to have this faith that's strong and abiding and is relentless. Remember 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. That we have to feed upon God's word and desire it as a newborn baby desires milk. And so we're not sweating the small stuff. We're not wrapped up in all of that. Our concern is for God and His word. And then our perspective in life is going to be what it ought to be. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. We all want this victory in life. We're all fighting. We're all struggling. We want this victory in life. 1 John 5, 4. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. In other words, this is how you sweat the right stuff. This is how you don't sweat the small stuff. Because your victory is over all of those worldly things. What is it? It is our faith. Our faith. Faith comes by hearing. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. That's where it comes from. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 7. Believe that God hears us when we pray and He answers and He does the best thing. And I tell you what, this is difficult to bring ourselves to this point in life that we know and we believe and we trust completely that there is no doubt God is hearing my prayers and He is answering them, and the answers He's giving are absolutely the best answer for my life right now. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? When we can get to this point that we are praying and we know and we believe and we don't doubt God is answering and giving us the very best gift right now for whatever reason. Maybe it's for us. Maybe it's what we need. Maybe it's what God needs. Maybe God needs us doing what we are doing today, just like he needed those Christians in the early centuries to suffer and to be put to death for the sake of Christ. God needed that. That was part of his plan, just as well as Israel suffering in Egypt, just as well as Jesus with Mary and Joseph going to Egypt and suffering there, going to another country. What we are doing is what God needs, and it is the best thing for us today. And when we get to that point in life, and indeed you may be there already, we do not sweat the small stuff. If God wants me to have this or that or some relationship, whatever it is, I'm going to have it. One of my friends in Thomasville, Christian, an elder there, and a big, big competition from Tallahassee was bringing a nursery into Thomasville. And his attitude and what he told me was great. It stuck with me. He says, you know what? If the Lord wants me to prosper, I'm going to prosper. And if the Lord doesn't want me to prosper, I'm not going to prosper. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to do the best that I can do. Stay in my priorities. And be happy with whatever state I'm in. And I've never forgotten that. Never forgotten it. Also, learn to be content. Philippians chapter 4, you have to learn to do this. It's not something you're just born doing. It's just not something, you know, you're baptized into Jesus Christ and automatically you're content. We have to learn to do this. Learn to be content. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. In other words, Paul was flat broke. He was struggling for the absolute basic necessities. And he says, not that I speak from want. I'm flat broke. I don't have enough to hardly get by with the absolute necessities of life, but I still don't want anything. So sometimes someone will ask me this, and I'll share this with you because it's a good illustration for the lesson. I don't do so in a braggadocious way. I think you all know me by now. Someone will ask, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for this or that? I say, you know, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. I don't want anything. Someone will say, well, I really want to do something for you. What can I do for you? I say, you really want to do something for me? I'll tell you what you do. Get a card and write me a nice note. Give me a card and write me a nice note. And when we don't want, when we're happy, when we're content, when we're satisfied with basically nothing, that's when we can be happy. Our priorities are as they should be. Paul says this, verse 12. I know how to get along with humble means, and also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and being hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I tell you what, when I got serious about changing my life and living the way God wanted me to live, I memorized that verse. As a Christian, I can do all things. That doesn't mean go out here and run around and get 10 mansions spread throughout the world. That's not what he's talking about. To live to the glory of God and be content in every circumstance. To have my priorities the way they ought to be. And not sweat the small stuff. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One other passage. Also in Philippians chapter 4. Enjoy the peace of God. And enjoy life. Be happy. Enjoy life. Don't sweat the small stuff. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And you know, if you can take the times that are hard and the times that are difficult, and you can be happy and you can rejoice and you can glorify God and you can praise Him, not sweat the small stuff. Verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't sweat the small stuff. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, get this, which surpasses comprehension, and will guard your hearts and your minds. In other words, stand on guard at your heart and your mind, the peace of God, so you don't sweat the small stuff. Don't be anxious. Turn it over to God. Pray. Trust. Know He answers and know He gives good gifts. And that you're receiving those good gifts today. Don't sweat the small stuff. As Christians, we don't sweat the small stuff. Because we're sweating the big stuff. And we're letting God take care of the little things. That's why, one of the reasons why, it's so great to be a Christian. Because when we turn our lives over to God, then God sweats the small stuff for us. And we don't have to. Don't sweat the small stuff. The big things, the big stuff is the things of salvation. Everything else is the small stuff. Are you sweating the big stuff of God or the small stuff of physical life? Take that question home with you today, if you would, please. Are you sweating the big stuff of God or the small stuff of physical life? Think about that and the things we've talked about in this lesson.